Please rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for meditation today is written in Luke 13, verses 31 to 35. On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. And assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Here ends the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dear friends, in our reading of the Holy Scriptures, there are verses sometimes that, at least on the surface, seem not to contain information all that important for our daily faith walk as modern-day disciples of Christ. One such section might be, as an example, the opening prologue of Luke's Gospel, first four verses, where the evangelist writes as follows to his friend Theophilus, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, it seems good to me also, having followed all things closely from some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." First glance, those words may appear to be simply, it's a nice introduction to a gospel written to a friend by Luke, but when we read them more thoughtfully, we can discover a very precious truth, namely, that Luke wants to assure Theophilus and all who would read these words later on that everything that he wrote about Jesus is accurate and 100% reliable, so that we may anchor our hopes in him confidently, with certainty. This morning, we want to spend a few moments considering an episode from Jesus' ministry recorded accurately by Luke in chapter 13, where he presents Jesus to us as a lamb who goes uncomplaining forth in love, knowingly and willingly to certain death, with a heart that breaks for those who reject him, and to extend an abiding hope to all those who trust in him. So this episode from Jesus' ministry that Luke recorded for his friend Theophilus happened as he was traveling in the territory, probably in Perea on the east side of the River Jordan, on what was to be Jesus' last journey to the city of Jerusalem. And it was at some point along his itineration route there in Perea that some Pharisees came to him with a message. "Get out, depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Now, whether the Pharisees shared this bit of intel with Jesus out of genuine concern for his safety or as a ruse to get him to go to Jerusalem where it would be easier to get rid of him, Luke does not spell out, nor is that very important. What is important and worth noting is the Lord's response. On hearing the Pharisees report about Herod's assassination plot, he told them, "Go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. I will have finished my work." Jesus was saying, regardless of what that cunning one is planning against me, I'm not going to allow him to intimidate me. Herod needs to know that I will not let him cut short my time here in Perea, ministering to the needs of the people, performing miracle cures, preaching the good news of the gospel. Then I will continue my journey to Jerusalem. And it's all going to be according to God's perfect timing. It'll all be with my having full knowledge of what lies ahead. I'm going to go uncomplainingly as a lamb to the slaughter of the cross without opening my mouth to defend myself in any way. And I will do that in love for all the world of sinners. Reminds me of a story I ran across some time ago of the Canadian physicist. His name was Louis Slotin, who lived back in the early part of the 20th century, I think born in 1910. He was conducting an experiment at Los Alamos, New Mexico on May 21st, 1946, preparation for testing of an atomic bomb in the Pacific. Performed this experiment many times, but this time he made a mistake. He lost his grip on a screwdriver at a critical moment of the experiment, allowing two hemispheres of radioactive uranium to come too close together. And the result was that a fission reaction was triggered that released a burst of hard radiation, causing the room to be filled with bluish radioactive haze. Louis could have taken measures to mitigate the disaster and save himself from sure death, but instead he reached out, pulled those two radioactive hemispheres apart to interrupt the chain reaction, but in doing so he exposed himself to a lethal dose of radiation. And while being rushed to the hospital, he confided to a colleague, friend, who had been with him in the experiment room, "You'll come through this okay. I don't stand a chance." 9 days later, he died from acute radiation syndrome at age 36. True story. Also true story, 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked knowingly into sin's deadly radiation. He stayed the course, traveled that road he knew would lead to certain death, to take the full brunt of God's fiery wrath for our sins that we deserved, to win for us and the whole world of sinners life everlasting. I know about you, if you knew that maybe walking into a public place later today, say a shopping mall or a grocery store, would result in being exposed to a deadly virus, or if you knew that climbing into your car tomorrow, heading off to run some errands on I-25, you'd be involved in a lethal crash, would you go or stay home? I know what I would do, stay home. Jesus, constrained by his love for us, veered off course in his work as our Savior, not even a little. We also see his love on display in what the evangelist Luke records next in our text. In the words of Jesus in verse 34, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." So Jesus compared his work there as the world's redeemer to a mother hen giving protection to her chick brood from a hawk circling overhead, wings folded, eyes concentrated on its tiny prey below. When the hen sees that hawk circling, she calls out to her fledgling chicks with an anxious cluck, cluck, so that they might scurry quickly to find safety under her wings. That's the invitation that Jesus extended to the people of Jerusalem as often as he traveled there. When he taught in the temple courts, shared a Bible parable, preached the gospel, did a miracle cure, he was saying, I'm your Savior. Find protection in me from the impending danger that's hovering over you on account of your sinful condition. Still today, when the gospel shared and when it resonates from the pages of the scriptures, it's Jesus, isn't it? Inviting people in his love to find protection from the threatening peril of sin guilt and from the menacing specter of death. When he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. And I will give him a bread that he will eat in faith that will enable him to live forever. And when that invitation is turned down, it causes Jesus' heart to ache and to break still today. Just imagine this. If you expended a lot of time, effort, and money to put on a big meal for friends, you made sure all the table settings were neatly arranged, the plates and the napkins, silverware, food cooked to perfection, wine chilled, but when mealtime arrived, the invitees did not show up. Think of the disappointment you'd feel. Well, that's the sorrow Jesus experiences, but on a much grander scale, when the citizens of earth refuse his invitation to his great salvation feast, passing it up for the junk food of a world that cannot satisfy the inner longings of their soul. And what made his heart sink especially was when he saw the disaster events that were going to befall Jerusalem citizens about 40 years later, when the Roman army legions would invade and pillage the city. Jesus also saw the fate they would suffer on the last day when the Lord comes for judgment and the unbelieving will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us, wishing for hell's agony to be mitigated, but knowing it will never be. Seeing God turn his back on them forever and to know it didn't have to be this way. What reason, friends, we have to praise the Lord for his grace in heading to the cross in order to complete his perfect work as our Savior, using the gospel message to bring us to faith, blessing us through his word and sacraments with strengthening for our Christian faith, keeping us safe under the shadow of his wings and enabling us to say with certainty, with certain faith, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I'll trust, because he set his love on me. Therefore, says the Lord, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. And speaking of that, the Lord's salvation, let's note how Luke in our text shows how Jesus, the Lamb of God, went uncomplaining forth to the cross that he might also extend an abiding hope to all who trust him. After expressing his sorrow over the unbelief of Jerusalem's inhabitants, he said, verse 35, see, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So Jesus also looked ahead, and he could see with his Savior eyes many who would accept him in faith as God's Lamb, their Savior. Even some who joined on Good Friday in the crowd and said, "Crucify him." Some even among the priests who were party to his conviction as members of the Sanhedrin. Many in the Pentecost crowd, you know that story, who were cut to the heart for their crime of crucifying God's holy Lamb when they heard Peter's sermon. When they said, "What shall we do? Is there any hope for us?" Peter said, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And glory be, many did just that. They repented and put their trust in Jesus. Jesus also saw souls like his half-brother James. Did you know this? His half-brother James was an unbeliever at first, but became later on a devout Christian and a pillar of the congregation at Jerusalem. Probably also was the one that wrote the Epistle of James in the New Testament. Or how about people like John Newton? You know who that was? 18th century English clergyman who during the early part of his life was a brazen heathen, lived an immoral life. He was a slave trader, but was brought to repentance by the gospel, trusted Christ, and made a beautiful confession on his deathbed. "My memory is nearly gone," he said, "but I remember two things. I'm a great sinner. Christ is a great Savior." He is the one that also penned that wonderful hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." And we, by God's grace, are among that number too. Blessed by the Lord with certainty that he will lead us safely through our lives here to a life later so wonderful that we can't even visualize it for its beauty. I think that's why the Bible describes heaven in terms of things that they're not going to be there. Do you ever experience pain? Aches? In heaven, there will be no pain. Do you shed tears of sorrow now? Then there will be no crying. The Lord will wipe away all tears from all faces. Do you sometimes sigh because of setbacks and disappointments? Then all sighing is going to flee completely away. Do you find yourself buffeted by sin temptations? Then there will be no more sin and no devil prowling around like a lion seeking to make you his prey. Does the thought of death unsettle you? Then there will be no death. View of these blessed truths, friends, gospel truths. Let the short-sighted people of the world limit themselves to the enjoyments of a temporary world that's passing away, bypassing the treasures of Christ that last forever. Let us lift our eyes to the hills from whence comes our help, and let's set our hearts on things above where Christ is and we will one day be, praising him for his love in going forth as a lamb uncomplainingly to the cross to make our salvation not just a possibility, a certainty. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.